Listening to A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, and we always like to look at the hymn assigned for the coming Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, by the way. And on this March the 15th in the year of our Lord 2016, we're happy to have with us once more our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how are you on this beautiful spring day? I'll tell you, is it beautiful out there or what?
Don't you listen to your wife? You're not supposed to talk about the weather to start with.
I haven't talked about it for some time, but I'll tell you what, it's worth talking about today. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, isn't it going up to almost 80?
Is that right? Oh, man, I'll tell you.
I heard that on one of the radio stations.
The buds
stations.
Are coming out on the trees. It's just beautiful time of year.
Yep. Yeah.
Beautiful hymn, too.
Do you know who wrote it?
Paul Gerhardt. Oh, he's written a lot of them. He's a good one. Paul Gerhardt.
Very, very much so. He was, of course, a Lutheran. Not long after the time of the Reformation, he died in 1676. So that was about a century after Luther died.
And the tune was written by Wolfgang
Dachstein.
Yes. It sounds fairly German.
Yeah, he died. What I find interesting, there's no translator. He had to write it in German.
Well, Paul, you mean Paul Gerhardt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Normally they put the translator down.
No. It says translator, translated for the Lutheran hymnal. Is that what it means?
That's probably right, yes. So I don't know if it was our favorite translator or not, but it is quite a hymn. You know, there's two hymns, actually, that they've assigned, and I think that's because there's almost two sets of readings for Palm Sunday.
Yes. Well, it's Palm Sunday, but it's also Passion Sunday, and I am doing something a little different this year. I usually go the Palm Sunday route, but this year I'm going the Passion Sunday. I'm going to have that emphasis.
Really?
Yeah. And it's because I had Palm Sunday. I talked about that in Advent not too long ago. And
that's right.
So I decided
Why do they do that?
As you so wisely said yesterday in your program.
Okay.
You said that a lot of people today miss the Lenten services,
right.
And they might miss Good Friday, and so this way, every Sunday, at least if you go on Sunday, you get the Passion emphasis, as well as, of course, a glorious Easter account.
Now, there's two Passion. The one is from Luke 23, 56 verses, and then John chapter 12, which is 23 verses. Which one are you doing?
I've been using for Lenten service, I've been using John.
Yeah.
And for this Sunday, I'm using Luke.
Yes.
So I give them the whole spectrum, you know.
Last week we did a hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, and I
still love that.
Made fun of you. I said, I hear you wrote a hymn about your wife that her love to you is unknown. And then you explain the word unknown how?
Because it really, you know, it's known nowhere else except through the gospel, through the scriptures. You can't find it anywhere else in the whole universe except through God, revealed in God's word.
Yeah, I was talking to one of our listeners last night who was having trouble with a daughter who appears to say that she doesn't think it's right that all we do is read the Bible and books about the Bible, that we should take a look at other religions too. And the point I would make to him is, well, let her read anything else and see if she can find the kind of love that's found in the Bible.
Absolutely. She will not.
It.
No way.
Nowhere.
You don't find it anywhere else.
No. My song is Love Unknown. So in a sense, this hymn is a follow-up as to what kind of love, if you go ahead and read the first stanza then.
A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, all this I gladly suffer.
So, I've got a bunch of questions on this verse, or stanza. Where in the Bible does it say Jesus says, all this I gladly suffer?
Well, I think we talked about this a week or two ago.
Yeah.
The fact that, there's a passage.
I'll start it. For the joy.
For the joy set before me, endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes.
Yeah.
For the joy set before me.
That's right.
And we talked about how we think perhaps the angel strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane by reminding him of that joy of redeeming the whole world.
Yeah.
Set before him, endured the cross.
That word is found in two other parables, but the one I want to talk about is the lost sheep. When he puts the lost sheep on his shoulders with joy.
He returns.
Now,
come and celebrate, I found my sheep, yes.
I tell you, just yesterday I heard, this is a true thing that happened, I believe in Troy, Missouri, some of the members, I preached last night because at Trinity Orchard Farm they're trying to start some Monday services, so...
Uh-huh.
I was preaching there, and afterwards, a couple of them were talking about there was a farmer who didn't come home. He had a lot of cattle, so his wife sent the police out to see if they could find him, and he had been killed by a bull.
Oh, goodness sake. Yes.
It's really dangerous, and I don't think we realize how difficult it would be to put a full-grown sheep on your shoulder in the wilderness.
Yes. That's right.
And walk all the way back home.
Yeah, just think, you know.
No shepherd does that.
No. And think of all the, you know, the briars, the stickers, the dirt, the manure.
Right.
Think of it. And it must have been hot, you know, and he has to trudge all the way back home with that adult sheep on his shoulders. Not just a little lamb, like so often pictured, but an adult sheep.
Yes. And that was Jesus, actually, on the cross. Dirty, with all the sins upon him, which this talks about. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies. Now, I never really thought about that in the way that I just talked in a sermon recently. But, for example, Jesus was falsely accused.
Oh, yes. And yet they couldn't agree. You know, they couldn't agree on,
right. Well,
on the different witnesses could not agree.
Both Pontius Pilate and Herod said he's innocent.
Right.
And Pontius Pilate only went ahead and okayed the crucifixion because he was afraid of a riot. And then word getting back to Caesar that he was not doing his job. But be that as it may, what I find interesting is we often think that Jesus came to earth to bear our sin. No, he also came to be falsely accused so that, again, another Hebrews passage, he sympathizes with us.
Yes.
And the only way you can sympathize is really go through the same kind of stuff. So a lot of times we're really going to be falsely accused in the coming months. There's just no doubt about that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the sermon this coming Sunday because
Are you talking politics?
No, I'm talking about when we stand up against abortion, against gay marriage, we're going to be accused of not being loving, not being
narrow-minded,
tolerant,
narrow-minded, bigoted,
and all that.
Right.
And Jesus went through that.
Sure.
And that's where we need to get the comfort. In fact, I spoke about... There are a lot of pastors out there who don't bring these subjects up because they're afraid to divide their congregation.
Oh, yes.
In contrast to your congregation, where you had, how many crosses did you have out there once?
Oh, I can't remember. We had the whole, they had a kit that was circulated.
Oh, yeah.
Lutherans for Life, where several hundred crosses, we planted them out on our front yard.
Yeah, that's a wonderful witness.
It is. Oh, it's powerful.
It's powerful, and you see, there are a lot of people who are afraid to say anything. In fact, this is part of the text for this coming Sunday that I'm going to talk a little bit about in the John one. But there were many believers who believed in Jesus, it says, rulers who believed in him. But
in fact, it says after the resurrection, this is a little known passage. It talks about how some of the priests came to faith after the resurrection or after Pentecost later on.
And yet they did not confess him.
No.
Why?
Well, they were afraid of being ostracized by...
The Pharisees.
Sure.
It says it specifically.
And the Sadducees.
Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And then it gives the reason. For they loved the praise of men.
Yes.
More than the praise of God.
Yes.
And see, this is why KFUO, in my opinion, is the only radio station in the world that really confesses the truth of the Bible on a consistent basis. There are some other, like the White Horse Inn, is on other
very good
stations, or maybe Issues, etc. But then when you keep listening to those other stations, they get into such false doctrine, decision theology, for example, or something like that. You don't hear that on KFUO. And this is kind of interesting that we're the only station that I'm aware of that has that kind of a consistency. Do you know of any other radio stations?
No. You mentioned the White Horse Inn. I know that's very good.
Well, I'm talking about that's a program.
Yes.
It's not a station.
No.
You know.
No, this is the longest operating religious radio program ever.
I think, didn't we just celebrate nine years?
I think so. 90 years, isn't it?
Oh, was it 90?
89, 90 years? I think so.
Well, I guess so.
Think
since I've been here 18. All right, stanza 2.
This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the Father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation.
Question I asked people in a Bible study not long ago is, who was responsible for putting Jesus on the cross? Can we say it was the Jews? And no, that's not the answer. Can we say it was the Romans? No, that's not the answer. Maybe it was his disciples, because they all fled from him, and that's not the answer. Or maybe it was the Pharisees. Well, what is the answer? Who's responsible for putting him on the cross?
Our sins put him on that cross.
Well, I said that's not the correct answer.
Oh, Tom.
No.
Okay, what is it? What is it, oh great one? Reveal the truth to us.
Whom God the Father chose to...
So God placed his son,
You just read it.
Yes.
But how quick... And I looked at them and said, oh, so you had the power to put Jesus on the cross? Are you
Well,
nuts?
It was our sins. It was our sins that he went to the cross.
Yes, but that's not who put him on the cross.
You are right.
Yes. The great one is right. It really is hard for you to... No. What you answered is what I always thought, too. I said, no, it's not the Jews. It's all of us. You know, it was due to all of us. But the real answer is this was decided from before the foundation of the world by the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
And so this verse is the verse I
would use.
Of
course, you know, the opportunity for preaching the law is stressing that our sins have put him there. That's the law, see. You don't agree.
I'd have to think about that. The way I would say it is God looked at us and there was such a life of ours that it was impossible to do anything to offset our sins.
Yes.
God decided he had to send himself.
Yes. It took blood of
infinite
value. That's
really the law. Yeah.
Yes.
See, people say, well, how do I know I'm a sinner? Look to the cross.
Yes.
That's why we're theologians of the cross, not of self-glory. And that means that if you want to see how bad your sin is, if you were the only person on earth, he still would have had to come to die for
that
you.
That is right.
Even if you just had a bad thought.
Yes, I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah, the Sermon on the Mount. This is why the love of God is totally unknown anywhere else.
Incomprehensible.
In any other religion, etc.
Yeah. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. Remember that hymn?
Yes. In other words, what's kind of nice about this is it's saying that this love of God is so different that it necessitates faith to agree with. If you don't have faith, there's no way that you can be convinced to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And God, the Holy Spirit, gives you that faith.
That's right. But how does he do it?
Through the gospel.
Yes.
Through the gospel.
Now, that's really important to understand. Not through the law.
No.
All the law does is make you aware. Now, see, I do believe that the law is a means.
It needs to be preached. It does need to be preached.
It's just not a means of grace.
Right.
It's a means of wrath.
Exactly.
It brings
the listener to his knees and makes him realize how lost he would be without
Christ.
Why
do you think Luther begins every commandment? We should fear.
And love and trust in God.
Yes, but that word fear isn't meant to, in Luther's idea, if you take a look at it, especially in the Heidelberg Disputation, it means to be really afraid of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, afraid of God because of what he could do to you. But because of that fear, we fall therefore on his mercy. We don't need his mercy if we're not afraid of God. You see, every religion is afraid of God, but they think the problem is God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be reconciled to God. Ask any Muslim. Oh, yeah, I love Allah. I want to be reconciled. That's why I pray to him. He's the problem, and therefore I have to do things.
Somehow you have to appease him.
Very good. Or placate him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in Christianity, that reconciliation already took place at the cross. So I find this verse one of the best verses to show that who's really responsible for putting Jesus on the cross is none other than the Father himself. I'll read stanza 3. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. That, by the way, is in quotation marks. So we're talking Jesus is saying this
to the Father.
My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. And then it goes on, O wondrous love, and that's back to that love that's so wondrous and unknown. What have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. You know, it kind of reminds me of that.
There's irony again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the love that God has given us has to be expressed not only in sermons and such, but in hymnody. And it's got to be ironic. It's got to catch you by surprise.
Yes.
You got to look at it and say, wow, that's right. The one he put into the grave was the one who built the earth's foundation. You know, it just.
I've got a question for you that came up. And I think I'm right on this, but I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Even as Jesus hung on the cross, he never ceased to be God. He never ceased to be the almighty, provider, preserver, creator, for that matter, even as he was hanging on the cross, was he not also at the same time providing for every creature, even the sparrows? What would you say to that? Was he not also preserving the whole universe even as he hung on that cross? Would you agree?
I'm not sure, because he was in this state of humiliation. Which means what?
It means simply that he did not use all his divine power.
Then how can you say that he was preserving everything? That means he was using his divine power.
Okay, all right. Well, that's why I ask you, oh great one.
Boy, you sound more and more like my wife.
You wish.
Yeah, I wish. That's for sure.
So hey, that's a good point.
You know who taught me that?
So,
you did.
So who was?
Remember,
I remember.
Say that.
Of course, I did.
Yes.
<It's> irony.
What irony? The student teaches the teacher, or the teacher teaches the student.
So was God the Father holding everything in place in the whole universe while His Son hung on the cross?
Well, I remember the Apostles' Creed. Who is given the task of creator?
God the Father is.
But, mm-hmm. of course, at the beginning, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they all three cooperated.
And in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily.
Yes.
What would you say to that?
It still does.
Right.
Yes. So it would be a little question in a state of humiliation, because you know there were certain things he was ignorant of.
He chose not to use that divine omniscience.
That may be, but he was ignorant, so right. You can't say that.
I just hate to hear you say ignorant of our Lord Jesus.
Well, he didn't know when the last day was.
Okay, but I wouldn't call him ignorant.
No, ignorant just simply means that you're unaware of the information.
Okay, there you go.
Read stanza four,
all right,
before
four.
Lightning comes into
okay.
this studio.
Lord, when your glory I shall see, and taste your kingdom's pleasure. Your blood, my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you.
Who, according to this verse, gets all the credit for our salvation?
Christ.
Yes. Because we're wearing
His righteousness, His yes. robe of righteousness. The bride is
I just find this so often, even among Lutheran laity, if you ask what is the gift that Jesus brought, they'll say the forgiveness of sins. And I'll say, anything else? And no, that's the main
gift. Life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
But that's kind of part of that. What they forget about is the robe of righteousness.
Right.
You see, here's how I look at it. And it just so happens, there was a Sunday school lesson that backed me up on this, that for our sins of commission, He gives us forgiveness. But for our sins of omission...
The sins we don't know about.
No, 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 no.
Sins of not doing, of not what we
yeah,
fail to do.
There's a lot of those
oh,
I know
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, for instance, pastors who refuse to speak the word of God.
Right.
On marriage or something.
Or when we can help somebody and we fail to do so.
Yeah, and we're aware of it. So the thing that He gives us there is the robe of righteousness. Yeah, because now...
Well, that covers all of our sins, not just our sins of omission. All of our sins are covered with His robe of righteousness. Wouldn't you agree?
No, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, the robe of righteousness...
It covers all of our sins.
No.
We get it in baptism. All of our sins are washed away in baptism. Every last one of
that's
them.
Forgiveness.
Okay. You're saying the robe of righteousness only covers our sins of omission? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because to be righteous before God, the reason we're not is not because we just sin. They're covered by forgiveness. But because we are not doing what we should be doing. But with the robe of righteousness, God doesn't recognize that. Because with Christ's righteousness, it's as though we fulfill the law perfectly.
Are you equating the robe of righteousness with active obedience?
Oh, yes. Christ's okay. Active obedience.
Oh, that's a new, boy, that's a new revelation you have given me this morning, Tom.
All right.
Oh, great one.
And if you want to hear more, at 11 o'clock today, I'm at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet in the morning, and we're doing Another Word from the Cross. And then this afternoon, around 4:30, I believe, they haven't told me for sure, I'm on Issues, etc. with the Sunday School lesson. And so when are your services? You have another Wednesday night?
Oh, yes, we got one more. One more Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. this coming Wednesday. We'll look at the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer.
Which is?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
You caught me flat-footed.
Yeah.
Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. That's it.
That's a toughie.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Tom Baker, and we've been with Mark Smith. Hopefully, we'll be back next week. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com.